2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of the off-season DFS Army Fantasy Football Podcast. I am at Alan Seslowski, a.k.a. Season Long Says, joined today by my good buddy, my friend, my broadcasting partner of the Flex Network, Shane Seely. Good morning, Shane.
What is going on, Mr. Seslowski?
Yep, the geek is on vacation. He is partying hard down in Cancun, Mexico. Thank you for jumping in on our off-season series. Today, we're going to talk a little best ball. For those of you who don't know what best ball is or have heard of it on the outside and are interested in getting in, we're going to talk a little strategy today. And get into some of the nuances and then talk ADPs. Shane, you're one of the few people I know that is like me, that you just can't wait for best ball season to start. You've jumped in a couple already, right?
I'm in my second best ball right now, yes.
Okay,
one you and complete, I are. And we're actually in one together, halfway done, roughly.
Right. So if you were to describe what best ball is to someone, an alien that came in from another planet, in 20 seconds or less, like how would you describe it? Like, what okay. is it?
Let's assume the alien knows what fantasy football is.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, the preface, yeah. Okay, so essentially what it is you draft a team. You get 20 picks, essentially, so a roster of 20 players. And it's pretty standard. So it's one QB, two running backs, three wide receivers, your flex. And essentially, you draft it, and then you're done. And what happens is the draft software, each week during the fantasy football season, chooses the highest scoring players at each position. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, more or less, it's a set it and forget it. It's a great way for people that love drafting, like yourself, like me, like many people out there, to have some action in the offseason. Usually the game fees are around $10. You can play it from higher stakes from anywhere to $100, $25. And some softwares have $1 drafts as well. And it's also a great way to find out where players are going. Doing these before the rookies have landed is always interesting. You can get great values on them. So what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about some basic strategy for a best ball and some ADPs. I'm going to pull up on the screen the best ball that you and I are in together here. And if you're listening on the audio cast, we'll walk you through it a little bit. But first round, it seems to be running back heavy, Michael Thomas, and then a few wild cards at the end of the round. In this particular setup here, Shane, I'm looking at your team, which would be team number, was it five? You picked fifth overall?
Number four.
Number four, okay. So Dalvin Cook, do you feel like the top, let's say, four or five picks are going to be this in some order? It's going to be McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott, Cook. Are those the locked-in top four?
Pretty close to that. I mean, I've seen Dalvin Cook go as late as like the 6-7. In some cases, but for the most part, I'd say that those top three running backs are absolutely going to be in the conversation. And then right around that four pick is, I think, where people are going to start considering Michael Thomas as an option at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think now that Drew Brees is committed to coming back and that he will certainly solidify himself as a top five pick overall. In your strategy when you're going in for best ball, is it any different than a redraft league? How do you approach the first couple rounds of best ball?
Okay, so for the first couple rounds, I mean, it's a little bit different in the sense that you have to kind of know what the player pool is looking like, right? At this point, I mean, it's pretty early still, but it really seems like right around like rounds 4-7, 4-8 is really when that wide receiver value really starts to get hot. And so my approach right now is, and we were talking about this just before the broadcast, that if you don't get a solid group of running backs, you're pretty much hooped by, I don't know, even like I saw Kareem Hunt went in round six. That's about the latest you'd want to start going, right? To even get like your RB2. So yeah, I mean, my early strategy is I like to lock up some running backs.
Yeah, and not just running backs with jobs. And I think that's important. Yes. So in a redraft league, it's okay to grab these wide receivers early because you have the power of the waiver wire to change out guys. Running backs that were backups that emerge, you can bid on in the waiver wire. In best ball, you can't do that. Once you draft your lineup, that's it for the year. There's no waiver wire. Yep. So you want to lock up running backs early that have job security. And even if that means reaching a little bit and letting wide receivers fall, that's how I approach it. That's how I've had the most success. You'll see running backs get pushed up the board like Kenyon Drake, like Devin Singletary, and certainly someone that you and I are both high on, Austin Eckler, which leads me to another conversation. And we're gonna have the ebbs and flows. We're going to come in and out of these things, but specifically Austin Eckler. Now, I started beating the drum for him. I realized that you were on the same board as I was here, the same viewpoint, that Austin Eckler, for some reason, is he undervalued? Is he overvalued? Now, there's definitely threat that another running back will get drafted or signed to complement him there, but I'm not sure that matters in a PPR league where he had almost 1,000 yards receiving and about 90 catches last year. How comfortable are you? I know you'd like Eckler, but is Austin Eckler worthy of a late first round pick in these drafts?
Oh man. See, the thing about like deciding, okay, where should this guy go? Yeah. Maybe in a vacuum, Austin Eckler, from a pure value perspective, might be worth the first round. But again, it's also about who would you take after Austin Eckler, or who would you have to pass up in order to take Austin Eckler in the first
round? Okay, well, that's a great question. And stop right there, because I think that's a great question. So in the draft that we did, I'm putting it up back up on the board now for those watching on the video cast, Austin Eckler went at pick 2.3. So you would probably have to decide between Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs in the running back situation. How would you, is Austin Eckler properly slotted behind those guys, or is there anyone that you would use him and you would jump over them?
I know. I actually think that's pretty solid where they fell. I mean, to be honest, like Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, I think both guys are going to have pretty good seasons this year. We saw the usage out of Josh Jacobs, and you know that he's going to be an every down back, right, when he's healthy. So I think that's really the decision point. And then it's also a matter of how do you want to construct your team? Because as we know, it's not just which running back would you choose, is would you choose him over, say, like a Devontae Adams or Julio Jones fell to me. I feel like Julio Jones is going to be a value, but I've also seen him go early in the second round. So it's basically deciding how you want to construct your team. What's interesting is that, so like I said, this is my second draft. In my first draft, I had the 3 pick. So I was picking out of the, I had 1.3 and then what was it? 2.10. Mm-hmm. And actually Eckler fell to me at the end of the second round. And I was ecstatic when he did. And we talked about building your teams. Listen, as much as you have to go with, you know, team construction, knowing where the value is going to fall, ultimately you want the best player available still, right? You don't want to be passing on guys just because. And, you know, I like the idea of hammering running back early in these best ball drafts, because you want to get a guy, as you said, that gets a job. But when a guy like Julio Jones falls to me at the end of the second round, I'm going to make that pick. And I mean, I feel like I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but for me, the decision point was Chris Godwin or Julio Jones here. And I ultimately went with Julio Jones. A lot of people are projecting that drop off. And so maybe would have gone Chris Godwin, but there's still some uncertainty in that Tampa QB situation, right? Like, we don't know what's going to happen there. So I jumped at Julio Jones because the value fell to me. So I don't know. I love Austin Eckler. I think anywhere between pretty much anywhere in the second round, I would make that pick. If Austin Eckler fell to me in the second round, it's going to be part of that decision-making process, even like 2.1, 2.2.
All right. Well, So I think we solidified that we love Austin Eckler anytime in the second round, and there's a possibility post-draft, post-free agency, that he could end up being a first-round pick. I think he's the exact type of running back in the modern NFL that is set up for fantasy success. All right. Now I want to talk about quarterbacks here.
Yes.
So quarterbacks, traditionally, you know, everybody has said draft a quarterback late round QB. That become a popular strategy, and for good reason, for really good reason. It absolutely, you can get great value at quarterback, but last year with all the quarterback injuries, it really solidified your team if you had one of those rock solid quarterbacks, and we could debate who those are. Lamar Jackson won people leagues or certainly got them deep into the playoffs. Is Lamar Jackson a different kind of a quarterback? This is the question I've been asking myself. Is he just, is the rushing upside just too high to not take him in the anytime in the second round? Or I know it's crazy. Can he be a first round player? And we go through it every year. We talk about how, you know, we go back to harken back to Michael Vick. Was he the number one overall pick? And then that didn't work out. Pat Mahomes, you know, he settled in as a late second round pick. And this is why I think that Lamar Jackson is a rock solid pick in the second round. It's because you can't think of him as a quarterback. I'm sure defenses will adjust to him at some point, but he is literally like having a running back. I mean, he finished as like RB8 last year when you took away the passing stats. He's like having a number one running back and having a prolific passer. I think they're going to weapon up this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore lands a major offseason acquisition like an AJ Green or someone like that. And I just think they're going to keep loading up, and sky's the limit. Anyone who takes Lamar Jackson in round two, and I think even he's in play at the end of round one, I think they're going to have a lot of success in fantasy. I know you disagree with that. What say you?
Okay, Al. So it's not that I disagree that Lamar Jackson could be a round two or even a round one pick, but it really comes down to replacement value, right? Mm-hmm. When I think about where I was successful, so this is, I think, year three that I've really dived into best ball. And when I go back, so every year at the end of my best ball, I keep track of all my teams. I put it in a little spreadsheet. And then at the end of the season, I go back and I essentially say, okay, where did I finish in each of these leagues, right? So going back 2 years ago, a player that I acquired late, you know, rounds 9 to 11 sort of thing, and a lot of my best balls where I was successful was Patrick Mahomes, okay? So we all know what happened 2 years ago. Last year, a guy that I acquired late, same thing, between like rounds 9 to 11 or so, was Lamar Jackson. In fact, Lamar Jackson was one of my highest owned players last year in best ball, and I was pretty successful because of it. And I agree with you that Lamar Jackson is probably going to be the QB1 more often than not, right? If you think, okay, which players are going to have the QB1 or maybe QB2 spot in any given week, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, right? Just kind of makes sense, your top two quarterbacks. But then I think about like a guy like Jameis Winston, who I know there's still some uncertainty, but man, when he had boom weeks last year, he had amazing weeks. So actually, he was my QB1 in the last draft, and I want to say I got him in like rounds 10 or so. I would rather have an Austin Eckler than a Lamar Jackson. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, I can't disagree with that case. So maybe the end of round one is a little rich, but once you start getting into round two, and I'll pull up our draft for those watching on the video feed. If you're listening on the audio feed, we'll paint a picture for you. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna pull it up on the screen real quick. Let's see here. Okay. And in our draft, like when you start getting to pick 8 through 10, here's how it fell in our one specific draft, which is best ball number 117. And by the way, I recommend you get into these best balls. Go over to best ball 10, just Google it, and you can get into these things for $10. There's an 8-hour timer, so you don't have to worry about getting auto drafted. They are, as the season gets closer, are going to have 1-minute drafts, so you could draft quickly if that's your speed. But getting back to what I was saying here is, yes, you're correct. You're sacrificing an RB1 at Mixon, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones. So it's what you're giving up. I totally agree there. And you see in our draft, Lamar Jackson went in the middle of the second round, and you're foregoing, you know, a top tier tight end or maybe a wide receiver. And in best ball, I agree with that strategy just because the upside is so high. All right.
Yeah.
On to another topic.
Sure.
I found that there is ridiculous value, as I'm seeing it, with wide receivers as you get into the middle rounds, 4 through 7.
Oh, yes.
Another reason why you and I agree that go get the running backs early and just wait to get the wide receivers. Now, you pointed out earlier that in best ball, you don't ever have to pick the week that the wide receivers go off, which is the most frustrating part about fantasy. I mean, you and I both get questions. Should I start this receiver or this receiver? And honestly, we don't know the answer. We're taking a guess, just like you. Not a guess, an educated guess, and hey, this matchup, that matchup. But at the end of the day, receivers are volatile. But in best ball, where they give you your best scoring wide receiver automatically gets thrust into your lineup, you don't have to make those decisions. So you could stack in best ball. Another great strategy tip is to draft 7 or 8 wide receivers and then just hope that two or three of them go off in any given week. So a player that is boom or bust is very valuable in best ball, where that player is probably a lot less valuable in season long. So Shane, really what I'm getting at is when you look at rounds 4 through 7, who your favorite name, give me one or two names and why, who your favorite wide receiver values are.
Listen, okay. So we have our favorites on the Flex Network. I think that goes without saying. And one of the guys actually that I would say you were higher on, we always liked this guy, but the guy that you've been high on pretty much from the beginning is Courtland Sutton. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting him in my fourth round pick. And I think this was interesting because you talked about, well, I had a decision between Courtland Sutton and Juju Smith-Schuster. But some of these guys, I mean, you look at the value, Amari Cooper, Courtland Sutton, Juju, Allen Robinson, who I think, you know, he's going to be pretty consistent. Even Keenan Allen, Devontae Parker.
Amari Cooper is going in the fourth round right now of best ball.
I think Amari Cooper, I mean, every single year he's been so volatile. And so like he has those boom weeks where he'll put up 35 points, but he'll also have those weeks where he'll put up like maybe zero.
But we just talked about in best ball where that is less of a prohibitive factor.
It's less of a prohibitive factor, but ultimately, you know, if he's going to be your wide receiver one, and you're not going to get those you still want general consistency, right? Like, yes, you want the boom bust wide receivers, but when you're going early, you want the guy who's going to get you 15, 20 points every single week so that you can go and get those guys like Curtis Samuel, Will Fuller that have the boom weeks. Because if you only have boom receivers, there's a chance you might get like your highest scoring wide receiver might get you 10 points.
Well,
that's not a good thing, right?
Right. But here is what, and again, you are 100% right with what you said, but here's my counter argument to you is that if you load up, and again, there's many different ways to get to your destination. You've won a lot of your best balls. I've seen you've dominated those, and I've won my share of best balls, and we've gotten there through different paths. So I have a different strategy where I like just loading up on boom bust guys. Yeah. And again, hope is not a strategy, but hoping that they land on their big weeks. If I get 8 or 9 of those guys, to say I go crazy on wide receiver, and just hoping 2 or 3 of those guys have those boom weeks at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the thing with Amari Cooper is that he's not signed with the Cowboys yet. We don't know definitively that he's going to be a Cowboy. So we
but even
saw
if he's not. Let's say he's not a Cowboy. Let's say, but you have to assume that he's going to go to a situation where he's going to be the guy. Or I guess that's not a safe assumption, actually.
I mean, look what he did in Oakland.
Yeah. No,
you would assume that if he was going somewhere and he's being paid as a high, he's probably one of the top free agents, right? A wide receiver.
I think he's the top free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have him than AJ Green.
Oh, God, don't even talk about A.J. Green. These people who are thinking A.J. Green is just going to come back after being injured for the last decade.
No, he's good when he's on the field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And how many games did he play last year?
Yeah, I don't want to tangent too much there. Yeah, okay. Like, for example, like if he signs somewhere, like just say Green Bay, for example, and he doesn't have to be the number one, that would be a great role for him.
Okay, Green Bay would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So, fourth round, give me so you talked about Courtland Sutton. I think that's a great pick. I think he's going to be a star. I think he's a top 10 receiver in the NFL. Yep. Who knows what Denver, there's a lot of rumors or mock drafts I've seen where Denver drafts a receiver in the first round. I don't think that hurts Courtland Sutton. I just think, you know, they need a speed guy. So maybe, someone like Henry Ruggs, but, you know, who else? Give me like two of the names that you like. So, Courtland Sutton, give me another value in best ball in the middle.
I love Deebo Samuel, man. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like he's going to be such a dog this year. Just the way that San Francisco plays the game of football. I mean, Shanahan knows he needs to get the best players on his team the ball. We saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, people know that because it's, you know, they saw it. So many people watched it. But it was like that all season, especially around the second half of the season. He's getting the ball in his hand. And whenever you do that, like, I love these yak monsters, like these high BMI guys, reliable. I love those sort of guys. Terry McLaurin, I think he's going to take another step forward this year. Even guys like Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, you know.
Yeah, those are all great targets in that round.
Yeah, they're all in that round. So if you go and you load up on running back and you come back with like a Deebo and a Tyler Lockett or a Deebo and a DK Metcalf, like I'm ecstatic at that point.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think you named all the guys, you know, a couple of my favorite. That's why I love loading up on the running backs early, because once you get through round 4 through 7, there's so much value at the wide receiver. Let's not forget Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, who's a great boomer bust guy. I think Darius Slayton is grossly undervalued going in the 7th, 8th round. I think he could be the number one guy on as far as receiver on the Giants as early as next year. And there's definitely some other names like Michael Gallup who could be fantasy productive fantasy wise. And it's amazing that Adam Thielen in these early drafts is falling to the sixth round. Okay, Shane. So we're talking best ball here. For those of you who are just tuning in or listening on the audio cast, best ball, one of our favorite games to play in the offseason. But what's interesting is that the rookies without a team are in the best ball pool. So they get drafted and it could be, you know, you just don't know the landing spot. Like last year at this time when I was drafting, I was able to get Josh Jacobs and in the, you know, 10th round that paid off. But other rookies I drafted didn't even see the field. So I tend to shy away from rookies in best ball for the most part, unless they fall to an extreme value. In the two best balls I've done this season over at Best Ball 10, the rookie running backs are going as early as round three, DeAndre Swift, and then the rest of them go in round four and five with John Taylor, Dobbins, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes in round six. How do you treat the rookies? Are you taking a shot on these guys? And if so, are you in on the round three?
Man, say okay, if DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor goes to the right spot, these guys could legit be RB1s. Like,
absolutely. That's the risk, right? Isn't it? That's the risk.
That's the upside. Well, that's the upside that these guys are going to – the risk of not taking them maybe, but like that's the upside of these players, right? And at this point, so I guess we're recording this 1 week before the combine even happens, right? So we don't even know what these guys' true – some of their athletic profiles are. Like, we know what they did in college, but until you get to the combine, you can see those specific stats to really weigh against each other. There's a lot of question marks. I would say my approach to these rookies right now is, like if a Swift or a Taylor falls to me, probably around, right around round four, that's likely where I'm willing to take a shot at them. Maybe I'd go and take a shot in round three potentially, but there's always, we were talking about this before the draft, there's always like these draft Knicks, right, that are in these best balls at this point, and they just load up. Like this one guy, he had both DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins in rounds 3-4, which isn't horrible, right? But it is going to be a little bit landing spot dependent. So I don't hate taking a shot at these early round running backs. I will not touch a wide receiver.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Here's a better way to do it. Okay, yeah, it's cute to take the rookies when you have a $10 best ball. What if this was a $100 best ball? Would you take those rookies in round four? There's no way in hell.
The only guys I would consider would be Swift and Taylor. That's it.
But what if
guys?
You have $100 best ball. What if one of those guys is in a committee instantly? What if, for example, and we know that Swift and Taylor are great players. I think Dobbins belongs atop the heap as well. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, you say great landing spot. They land in Houston. Okay.
Yep.
But you have Carlos Hyde there. Lamar Miller say looks healthy. And I mean, you know, it could be it, for best ball purposes. I'm not saying it won't be great for dynasty and you don't think that those guys will overcome them. But for best ball, you know, it could be an issue getting production out of them in the fourth round. Are you better off taking a crack at someone like Raheem Mostert, who looks like he's going to be the RB1 in San Francisco as long as they don't sign anybody? Are you better off taking, you know, David Montgomery, who didn't look good last year, but presumably they're going to do everything they can to get him the football, and they made the pick. They have to justify the pick. That's another thing. When we're looking at
the situation. Here's the thing. At this point, I know it's still pretty early in the draft, but at this point at the running back position, we talked about getting drafting guys with jobs. At this point, there's no like definitive guys that you're like 100% comfortable with. So look at the players that went around DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor. So Mark Ingram went right after Swift. James Conner went at the end of that round. Todd Gurley, Lev Bell, Damian Williams. What do these guys have in common? They had an up and down 2019 season. And it's a little bit unpredictable exactly what's going to be happening. Like, do we know for sure that Pittsburgh's not going to go and draft a running back? Do we know that James Conner, who couldn't friggin' stay healthy last year, is going to be the RB1 in Pittsburgh? We don't know that. What happened with Todd Gurley last year? They had him on a pitch count. Lev Bell, I mean, if he's still stuck in with the Jets, although they're talking about trading him, they're just these are guys that have question marks, right?
Hey, did you – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Shane. I interrupted you. I was just going to –
I'm just saying they're all guys that have question marks, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen with these RB profiles. But for anybody who's been following dynasty football at all, everybody says get your 2020 draft picks because it's going to be a hell of a year for the running back crop. And this year, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, these are two elite running backs that I think that they're going to go in and they're going to have an immediate impact on whichever team they're on. And I think they're going to be the RB1s. So yeah, in the third round, I'm cool with that.
Okay. I mean,
I'm almost convinced myself, to be honest.
There you go. Yeah. I see we had a couple comments, and especially from the geek laying on the beach in Cancun over there. He says, F Montgomery. He's not a fan of Montgomery. All right. You know, I respect that. I don't agree. Again, he did look a little sluggish last year, but I just don't see a way they're not going to feed him the rock. I think that if they improve the QB situation or they go with Trubisky, presumably the offense is going to be better. It has to be. All right. Moving on. We talked about rookies. All right. Let's just go a couple sneaky values and we'll wrap this thing up. Okay. Who are players at any position that you see in the double digit rounds that you think can end up being, I don't want to call it a league winner, but really helpful to your best ball team. Last year, I was talking about DJ Shark as a last round pick.
Yes.
That one paid off. That one I got right. There's a laundry list of ones I didn't. But that was my guy last year. Who do you see now in those rounds? It doesn't have to be the 20th round, but anywhere around 10 through 14. And these are all dart throws. I mean, you know, everyone's a good pick in that round. There's no ADP in that round. It's the Wild Wild West. Who are some of the guys that, as you get deeper in these best balls, one or two names that you might like?
Okay, I'm going to give you a few, okay?
Okay.
So it's a QB position. Like I said earlier, Jameis Winston. This is a guy that you assume that if he's going to go to a team, he's going to be a starter somewhere. Right. I've heard some rumors that maybe Detroit would look at him if Matt Stafford is really battling with that injury. I think that a guy like Jameis, he has those boom weeks. He's a guy that I'd be comfortable with. You pair him with maybe like a Matt Ryan or even like a Matt Stafford if you're gambling that he's going to be coming back. And that's a guy that I think can really help you win. Right. And then my approach in general, we already talked about, you know, the boom bust wide receivers, but I like to target these what I want to call high-end RB2s on their team. So like a Tony Pollard, even like a Nyheim Hines, who I think is going to have a hell of a year, especially if the rumored Phillip Rivers goes there. I mean, we saw what he did with Austin Eckler last year with these pass-catching running backs. So these are the kind of guys that I would like to target in that round.
Okay, lightning round, give me one wide receiver. Lightning round, we're going to do this one quick.
Oh my gosh. John Ross.
Okay. And running back, one late round guy that may not have a starting job right now, but you could see the case. And if he jumps in there, boom, you got it. You have an.
I don't know. Like, is Chase Edmonds dead? I don't think he's dead.
Nope, not dead at all. Not dead at all.
Like Kenyon Drake, the last I checked, is not an Arizona Cardinal yet.
Okay, and I already know the answer to this one, but who's your late round tight end?
Oh man, I like Jonnu Smith, Ian Thomas, even guys like T.J. Hockenson. These are all like Hawk last year. He was hurt. But we talked about how he was one of the best tight end prospects coming out in a number of years. Noah Fant stayed healthy, and by the end of the year, he outperformed him. But the Hawk, I think he's going to be solid.
Okay, good. All good picks. All right, for me, the best late round targets, I like keying in on Breshad Perriman. I think that there's a lot of saying people. Someone's going to overpay him, sure, but he's still going to run the 4.2 speed. I think he'll be a good receiver. I could see if Indy upgraded their QB situation and Perriman went there. I mean, there's a million places he could go. So I like Perriman there as a late round wide receiver. My late round running back that I like best is I still think that. Royce Freeman, as I call him, Hoyce Freeman.
Yes, I got him in my last draft. I love Royce Freeman.
Yeah, I think that he has a shot. I love Phillip Lindsay, but I think that the running game is going to be it's going to be more diverse this year. They're going to try to get him involved, and it's kind of a do or die time for him. I'm not in on him as a top 5 or 6 round pick, but he's going in the double digit rounds. And you actually hit on my favorite late round tight end, Jonnu Smith. If you look at his, this is what I told Geek on the last podcast. I said, what I like to do is look at the last 5 weeks of players that maybe didn't, you know, pop on the final rankings. But if they, over the final month of the season, month and a half, 5 or 6 weeks, just went crazy. That sometime is a good indicator. I was able to do that. Some of the successes I've had with that was George Kittle. And you know, there's been some other ones as well. I'm pulling up Juju Smith right now, while I'm talking to you. Oop, I just pulled up the wrong Smith. I pulled up Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith, and here, 1 second. I just want to read to you his last. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I mean, well, Jonnu Smith, I mean, Tennessee right now, they're finally rolling again, right? Mm-hmm. Is Delanie Walker coming back? I don't know. He's another guy who might be dust at this point, right?
Yeah, no, he's okay. Listen to this, Shane. The last month of the season, here's his fantasy points from week 13 on. Okay, didn't go well week 13. He had 2 fantasy points, but then 11, 16, 15. I mean, that's a nice, strong finish to the season. I think that he could be a sneaky someone to finish as a tight end one, maybe a top 7 or 8 guy. Now, again, that doesn't win you leagues, but in the double digit rounds, when you've missed out on tight end, it's a great target. And as far as QB is concerned, Josh Allen is the guy that I'm going to have higher in the rankings than most this year. I think I'm going to have him high as like QB4 when it's all said and done. Okay. Just from a fantasy perspective, I have to take a look at that. But certainly in the top 5 ahead of guys like Aaron Rodgers. All right, Shane, we did it again. This is the DFS Army late. Sorry, not late round. The early best ball look, ADP movers and shakers. We're going to come back and do this each week. For those of you who have not gotten to best ball, I highly recommend you do. It is the best way to stay in touch with the ADP. When the rookies drafts happen, all the ADP gets shaken up again. And Shane, just quickly before we go, tell them where we can find you and all your Twitter stuff and the podcast that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you were talking about it before, we are The Flex Network. You can find us on Twitter at The Flex Network 1. Come hit us up. I mean, we've got content pretty much all off season. It's you and I. It's our boy Flex Matt. And this is a fun time, right? We talk about these rookies. We love Dynasty. It's becoming a growing and growing passion every single season. The combine is next week. We're going to be talking about the combine. We're going to be talking about where these guys end up getting drafted. We're going to talk about rookie draft strategies. And of course, we're going to be talking about best ball redraft. It's going to be a lot of fun. Come join us at the Flex Network 1 or anywhere you download podcasts, the Flex Network.
All right. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that this podcast is sponsored by Thrive Fantasy, one of the best prop apps out there right now. Go download them in the App Store, Thrive Fantasy. And what that is, Shane, is it's a prop game. It's an either or. So you would say, okay, this NBA player, LeBron James, 28.5 points, you'll have to pick under and over. And depending on how likely the under over is, that's how many points you get. I've been playing Thrive Fantasy. It's awesome. If you go to Thrive Fantasy now and use code DFS Army, they'll match your deposit by $20. So Thrive Fantasy Prop Up, they are a sponsor of ours, and it's a really cool game. They even have esports on there, which is cool. So if you're into esports, you can do under over and have some sweat and some action going on there. PGA of Golf, they were great for football, and they, of course, they have all the major sports, PGA, basketball in there as well. Okay, everybody, I am at Alan Seslowski on Twitter, aka Season Long Says. For this episode of the offseason DFS Army Fantasy Football Podcast, Shane, we'll do it again next time. Bye-bye.